The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother-of-pearl. The handle unmarked. But the gun has killed and the man has killed. People call them both the six-shooter.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Buck Benny, a two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke and the Six Shooter for our Western Wednesday. Today on Gunsmoke, from exactly 65 years ago today, we have, from 1952, July 5th, Never Pester Chester. And the title is kind of a funny title, but the episode itself is John Meston's second episode he's written for Gunsmoke. We're still in the very early stages of Gunsmoke, and he really cements in two of the characters today. He brings you a script that will probably make you cry, or at least certainly heading that direction. Just a wonderful script, a wonderful character piece, and a chance to really get some insight into a few of the characters on the show. Really brings us home how good John Meston's writing could be at its best. And I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Followed, of course, by the six-shooter. Gabriel Starbuck is the name of the episode. And it's from November 22nd, 1953. I think that's another episode you'll really enjoy. So two great episodes we're bringing for you today. I hope you enjoy them both. And we'll see you next time.
And in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. That's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun smoke. Starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Sure is hot today, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
Used to get hotter in Sweetwater, though.
Texas?
Yes, sir. But I wasn't there very long.
No? What'd you do there, Chester?
Oh, I was a salesman, Mr. Dillon.
Salesman? Well, what'd you sell?
Lightning rods.
Lightning? Oh.
Well, now, they're good things to have, Mr. Dillon. Why, I had a line of lightning rods.
Well, now, don't explain it to me, Chester. Too hot.
Well, I'll go get us some beer. Maybe that'll help.
I don't think I want any beer, Chester.
Well, then, why don't you just go take a siesta, Mr. Dillon? I'll stay here in the office.
Why don't you just leave me alone, huh?
All right, Mr. Dillon.
Hey, Marshal.
Yeah, what do you want, Doc? A
couple of cowboys been feeling their liquor over at the Texas Trail.
That's what saloons are for, isn't it?
Yeah, they were giving Kitty a bad time.
Oh?
She got rid of them now. But they're down at the end of Front Street now, making remarks and pestering the town ladies. It just might lead to trouble.
Well, I'm not going to walk down there in this heat just to lecture a couple of hard-nosed cowboys.
I'll go, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, good, Chester. You go, huh? Just tell them to take it easy and leave the ladies alone.
Yes, sir, I will, Mr. Dillon.
Hey, lady. You ever been to Texas? Real men down there. Not like these short grass Kansas.
All right, boys. Now, that's enough.
Who's this?
The preacher, maybe.
Boys, Marshal Dillon sent me down here.
And we're going to send you right back, fella.
Mr. Dillon said you can have all the fun you like, but to leave the ladies alone.
That's the whole dang trouble, these Dodge ladies. They've been left alone too long.
Yeah, what they need is a couple of big-handed Texas men. Yep.
Look, now why don't you go over there to the Alfaganza? I'll buy you both a beer.
You will, huh? Well, that's mighty thoughty of you, mister.
We just don't want any trouble, that's all.
Sure we don't. And I got an idea how we won't have any. Wait till I get on my horse here. Stay with our friend a minute, Trevor.
Hey, mister, I'll make a bet.
What kind of bet? What do you mean?
Any kind. You name it. Come on.
Well, but I don't...
I got him! He spilled his gun, Trevor. Pick it up and grab your horse.
Get this rope off of me.
Maybe it'll wear off, mister. You're going for a ride.
Drag him. Tobo, drag him. Let go!
Who got Chester?
A couple of cowboys. They roped him and dragged him out of town. Come on.
Well, which way?
West. I'm going with you. Hurry.
Come on.
There they are, but they're not dragging anything.
They must have cut him loose. Now, there he is by that sagebrush. Chester. Chester. Get that rope over his feet, Channel. Look at him. He's bleeding all over. They tore him to ribbons.
I'll stay with him, Marshal, if you'd like to.
No, Shiloh. Go get our horses, huh? I'll get him back to the dock right away.
All right, Marshal.
It's all over, Chester. I got you now. We'll be at the dock soon. Easy, Chester. Easy, fella. Easy now.
I'll carry him when you get tired, Marshal.
I won't get tired, Shiloh. Not for a long time. Well, Doc?
Yeah, he's in bad shape, Marshal.
The worst is something was bothering his breathing. I don't know what it is.
We'll just have to wait and see if it goes away. If he lives the next few days, he'll pull through.
Oh, Doc.
I know. But I'll stay right here with him.
Why did I have to send him? Why didn't I go?
Oh, now don't blame yourself,
Marshal. I told him to go, didn't I?
Yes, but...
Doc, can I talk to him?
No, Marshal, no. Not for a while.
All right, then. Would you tell him this for me? I'm going after those men. I'm going to bring them back. Alive. Or at least half alive. In the street outside, waves of heat move back and forth, making things seem unreal. Like Chester lying up there at docks. That seemed unreal somehow. I walked down to the jail, and I went inside, and I sat there for a while. And then all at once, I got up and unbuckled my guns, and I hung them on a peg behind the desk. And I went over to the Texas Trail.
I'm over here, Matt. Sit down. Matt, I heard about Chester. How is he?
Doc doesn't know for sure.
Oh.
They were in here bothering you. Who were they, Kitty?
I never saw them before. One was a kind of weasel-faced man named Trevitt.
And the other?
Big man. Real brute. Named Stobo, I think.
I see. What outfit, they say?
Would it be the Crow Track?
Yeah. The Crow Track's holding a herd up the river. Thank you, Kitty.
Wait a minute, Matt.
Yeah?
No business of mine to ask, but where are your guns?
It would have been easier for Chester if they'd have shot him and killed him.
But I don't see...
So I'm not going to shoot them. Chester dies, I'll see him hanged. Otherwise...
Otherwise what, Matt?
I don't know. But I'm going to bring him back and we'll wait and see.
You're taking an awful chance.
Maybe.
Oh, Matt. Please be careful.
Sure. Kitty?
Yeah, Matt.
Look in on Chester once in a while, will you,
maybe? Oh, of course I will. Don't worry about him.
Thank you, Kitty. So long.
Hey, Marshal.
What is it, Shiloh?
I'll walk outside with you.
Marshal, I want to ride after those cowboys with you.
No, Shiloh, I'm going alone. But we could use you here at the jail.
Here?
I'm going to take two prisoners. I don't know when or how, but I need a jailer when they come in.
So I'll bring them in with you, and then I'll...
No. That's something I have to do alone.
Marshal, you're a stubborn man. But okay, I'll do it.
Keys are in my desk. Here's my horse. I'm going now.
Wait a minute, Marshal. You're not armed.
I know it, Shiloh. Goodbye. Who's the trail boss here? Where is he?
Here I am, and I don't need any riders.
Maybe not, but you got two riders I need.
How's that? Just what do you want, mister?
That's the Crow Track outfit, isn't it?
That's right.
I'm looking for a couple of your men called Stobo and Trevitt.
They ain't here, mister.
And where are they?
They come back this afternoon, picked up the gatherings and left. Didn't even wait to get paid off. I'm telling you this just because they're no good, and I'm glad they're gone.
Which way'd they go?
I wouldn't tell you if I knew, mister.
I didn't think you would.
Who are you, anyway?
I'm a U.S. Marshal out of Dodge.
That so? Well, I don't know what you want them for, and I don't care, but... how you going to take them, Marshal? Put salt on her tail? You ought to at least take a club if you're going after that Stobo. He's mean. He's big. Besides being a Texan.
We've hung Texans up here before, mister.
Marshal?
Yeah?
I heard Stobo and Trevitt say they were heading west, following the Arkansas.
Where are you from, son?
Texas, near Waco.
And what are you sniveling around informing on these men for?
Stobo kicked me. Knocked me down and kicked me.
All right, son. I'll ride along the Arkansas. But you ride back to Texas and learn how to fight your own battles.
Return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, the conventions start next Monday when the Republican Party takes over Chicago. CBS Radio's greatest reporting names and a corps of technical experts manning mobile units and studios covering the convention floor and corridors are all set to bring you history as never before. Whatever happens, wherever it happens, You'll miss nothing when you tune in to conventions on CBS Radio starting next Monday. Now, the second act of Gunsmoke.
I cut straight down to the Arkansas and followed it west. I rode close to the water where I could use the sound of it for only my cover. After an hour or two, I spotted a hobbled horse alone. Stobo and Trepet must have separated. I got down and followed the animal's tracks as best I could in the moonlight until I caught the dying coals of a campfire on the bank ahead. On one side, I could make out the huddled figure of a man asleep in his blanket. It took a long time to crawl to his head where I saw the weasel face of the man Trepet. His gun belt lay on a saddle blanket in easy reach. I stood up and heaved it out into the river. And as Trevitt sat up with a snap, I kicked him back.
Don't shoot!
You sit up again and I'll smash your skull, Trevitt.
Don't kill me!
Shut up. Now, where's your rope? I told you to lie down. Now, where's your rope?
Under my saddle there. You gonna lynch me?
No, but you may hang legally if you live that long. Now keep your arms in that blanket and lie still while I get you roped up here.
Who are you, mister?
Yeah, that'll do it. Let's just say I'm a good friend of a man you dragged out of Dodge this morning.
Stobo was in on that, too. It was his idea. He did it.
Don't worry, I'll find Stobo.
You ain't gonna leave me like this.
I'll be back.
You ain't even carrying a gun.
Too bad for you, I'm not. Now, Trevor, I'm gonna throw you across my horse and tie you on. He'll take you in the Dodge right to the jail. When you get there, tell Shiloh who you are, if you can still talk. And he'll give you a nice, clean cell.
You're the marshal.
I'll be back when I find Stobo.
You can't do it, Marshal. I'll die on that sun. Ride like that across a horse. No, listen. Stobo's about a mile upriver. We had a row and I left him. See, I told you, Marshal. Let me go now.
Trevitt, how would you like to go to Dodge behind my horse with a rope around your heels?
No, don't, Marshal. Don't kill me.
I'll pack you on now. I tied Trevitt across my horse and started him off in the direction of Dodge, and then I forgot about him. Stobo was next. I rode west on Trevitt's horse. Dawn was just breaking when I saw him, crouched behind a campfire, cooking breakfast. His horse was saddled and stood nearby. I rode straight up, got down, and walked over.
You lost, stranger?
No. I'm not lost. Stobo.
No tricks, mister. I don't see your gun, but no tricks.
Relax, Stobo. I'm unarmed.
Who are you?
Matt Dillon. I'm a U.S. Marshal out of Dodge.
You're a long way from Dodge, Marshal.
Stobo, you and your pal had some fun with a friend of mine yesterday. You hurt him bad. Maybe you killed him.
You rode out here without a gun to tell me that? You're the craziest marshal I ever saw. I'm going to shoot you, Marshal, and bury you in the river. What do you think of that?
I expected you would.
Huh?
But unless you want it on your conscience that you refuse to feed a man on the trail, you better give me a piece of that pork first.
You're about the coolest man I ever saw, Marshal.
Do I eat?
Sure you do. Sure. You just stand right there across the fire and don't move. I have to shoot you before you've been fed.
I know.
It's too bad I only got one dish for your last meal, Marshal.
A man can keep sassy on meat alone, Stobo.
Yeah, he sure can.
Well, looks about done. At least this here piece says you can't...
All right, I got your gun, Sobo, so don't try anything.
You burn me! You burn me!
Just a few coals. It won't hurt you. Now shut up and get on your horse.
I'll kill you for this, Marshal. You can't hurt me like that.
On your horse! Come on now. Get up there. Now, you just sit there, Sobo. I'm going to throw a noose around your neck, so keep your hands down. There now. Now, you ride toward Dodge. And you do anything I don't like, and I'll jerk you off your horse and drag you the rest of the way. Now, ride. Jail's on the left. You see it?
I see it.
All right, pull up. Shiloh! Shiloh!
Well, hello, Marshal. This other one?
Yeah. Trevitt, get here.
More dead than alive, but he's here. It was rough, Marshal. Real rough.
Yeah. Shiloh, how about Chester? Tell me.
Doc ain't sure yet, but he's alive.
Lock Stovo up. I'm going over to Doc's.
All right, you get down. Walk straight or I'll shoot you through both knees.
Chester was asleep, but the doc let me take a look at him. Seemed to me he had more trouble breathing than before. But the doc said another day might see him out of it. And there was nothing I could do. So I went up for a steak and some sleep. And the next morning, I went back to the jail.
Morning, Marshal.
Everything all right, Shiloh?
Doc looked over your prisoners. Trevitt's pretty sick yet, but Stobo's all right. Got a few burns is all. Nothing could hurt that moose.
A hanging might.
Sure, but what if Chester pulls through?
You can't hold us in, Marshal. There's no law that says...
I don't like the sound of your voice, Trevitt.
But you can't
be
hold...
quiet.
Don't worry, Trevitt.
You too, Stobo. Shut the door, Shiloh. I don't even want to look at him.
That Stobo's a mean one, but I feel kind of sorry for Trevor.
Then go cry about it someplace else. I don't feel sorry.
Don't you take it out on me, Marshal. I didn't send Chester off to do my job.
Are you? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Go get some breakfast, huh, Shiloh? I'll wait here now.
I'll be back later.
Hello, Marshal.
Doc? Well, what is the doc coming?
Chester. He's going to be all right.
You sure?
Why, of course, Marshal. His breathing suddenly changed. The pressure's off somewhere. Oh, he's going to be fine.
That's good.
Of course, he'll be in some pain for a while yet. But...
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Doc. I'll come see him in a little while.
I'll tell him for you, Marshal.
All right, come on, Trevitt.
Where to?
Come on, I said.
What's up, Marshal?
I'll be back for you, Stobo. Now get going.
Come on!
Well, Stobo did it. Not me. You can't do anything to me.
Shut up. Trevitt, your horse is down at the National. Go get on it.
You're turning me loose?
Get your horse and ride, and don't ever come back to Dodge, not while I'm alive. Now go on before I change my mind.
Yeah, sure, I'll go.
You're next, Stobo.
What'd you do with Trevitt? Put a knife in him?
I turned him loose. Now come on, get out of that cell.
Am I free, too?
You will be in a little while.
So the doc, Marshal. Chester's...
Hey, where are you going with Stovall?
Gonna shoot me in the back, probably. That right, Marshal?
I'm gonna do what I should have done 3 days ago when I sent Chester after you. Bring him outside, Shiloh.
Let's go, Stovall. Slow and easy.
Bring him over here, Shiloh.
You're gonna drag me, is that it? You try that.
That's what you do, isn't it, Stovall?
Don't try.
Never mind. Shiloh, hold my guns. Here.
What the?
Oh, I get it. You're gonna fight me. Marshal, you're crazier than I thought. Why, I'll tear your throat out.
If he wins, let him go, Shiloh.
Maybe I will.
I said you'll let him go.
All right, Marshal, all right. Maybe you're crazy, but I guess this is your party.
Come on, Marshal. I'll make it short for you. Real short.
Stand back, everybody. Get back, do you hear?
You're big, Stovall, but you're stupid.
Why, you... I'll kill you! I'll kill you! No!
Give me my guns, Shiloh.
Here. You don't look too good, Marshal. I'd better get that doc.
He's hurt, but he isn't dead. If he can't ride, throw him on a stage. But get him out of here. If I see him again, I'll shoot him. Chester, can I come in?
Yes, Mr. Dillon. My, what happened to you?
I've been lecturing a couple of hard-nosed cowboys. One in particular.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry, Mr. Dillon. Those two sort of got the drop on me.
Yeah, they sure did.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
I've been thinking, and...
Yeah? What is it, Chester?
Well, Mr. Dillon, I'm not much help to you here. Maybe I better just...
That's enough, Chester.
Well, but I've been thinking...
Well,
that...
just stop thinking.
Yes, Mr.
Now, look, Chester, I'm going to tell you something. I need you here. See, you're the only man in Dodge I can really trust. The only one.
Yes, sir. Well, you can trust me, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know. I'm thanking you, Chester. But you're sure no help to me lying there, you know. No help at all.
Well, I don't aim to stay here long. The doc says I'll be up and around again.
Look, Chester, I tell you what. I'll go get patched up, and then we'll make Kitty come over and fix us some steaks, and we'll have some beer, too, huh? Well, what do you say?
That'd be fine, Mr. Dillon. My. I'd sure like that.
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was especially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in tonight's cast were Paul Dubov, Lou Krugman, and Georgia Ellis, with Don Diamond, Gil Stratton, and Jack Crucian. Parley Bear is Chester, and Howard McNear is Doc. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Meet Millie. This delightfully funny little secretary is heard from every Sunday evening here on CBS Radio. Audrey Totter stars as Millie, a gal with a one-track mind on the subjects of love and marriage, especially where the boss's son is concerned. Remember, you can now meet Millie every Sunday night on most of these same CBS radio stations. This is Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, tune in history starting next Monday. Hear the Republican Convention on the CBS Radio Network.
In just a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as The Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with two of your favorite stars. Hear Stroke of Fate and the story of what might have happened if fate had reversed historical facts. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of The Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both The Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
What's that, Alf? Short enough for you? I asked you if it was short enough for you.
Well, give me the mirror so I can take a look.
There you are. Well?
Don't look to me like you cut it at all.
Oh, now, Alf.
You're still there, ain't it? Hanging down the back of my neck.
Well, I figured you'd want to be in style. Fellow's in just the other day, come from Kansas City. Said that's the way all Easterners are having a haircut.
Well, I ain't no Easterner, and I don't aim to be spending a quarter every week for a shave and a haircut, so start slicing it off.
Okay, okay. I need to get the head up. Oh,
sorry, Breezy. I reckon I ain't feeling up to snuff today.
Can't say as I blame you. I heard about the town meeting last night.
Yeah.
You, told them yet?
I don't see why everybody's in such a rush all of a sudden. You waited 40 years. A couple more hours ain't gonna make no difference.
You're, gonna do it today then, huh?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it today.
Poor old Gabe. Wonder how he'll take it. I'm sure glad it ain't me that has to break the news.
And stop talking about it, Breezy, and finish my hair.
Well, Gabe's a sensible man. He's not gonna hold it again, you know, seeing as how the whole town's agreed.
Well, the whole town don't know him like I do. I was here when he first come to Yellowcrest. I don't know, if it wasn't for Gabe Starbuck, there wouldn't be...
Howdy, mister.
Paul.
You're next. Just be a couple of minutes. Dodge City Papers there, if you'd like to read it while you're waiting.
Thank you. Thanks.
Britt.
Now, you sit still.
Britt Ponsett.
Huh?
Don't you remember me, Britt?
Why, I...
Alf? Alf Crandall?
Alf? Alf Crandall? Oh, sure, I remember you. Well, what happened to your beard?
Breezy here shaved it off 3 years ago.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. A couple of the boys paid him to do it while I was asleep in the chair.
Is that so?
I ain't never forgiven you for that, Breezy.
You could have growed it back, Alf.
Well, it wouldn't have been the same. Took me 25 years to get that stand of whiskers. Besides, once Maddie seen me without them, folks do say I look younger.
Well, you look so young, I hardly recognize you. That's...
Well, what about you, Brett? How's the world been treating you?
Oh, first rate, first rate.
You just hit town.
Yeah, yeah. I've been out on the Square Moon Ranch last month or so. I ran into a flock of sheep yesterday, and they gave me such a brotherly look, I decided it's high time I get a haircut.
Be right pleased to take care of you, Mr. Ponsett. There. That ought to be short enough, Al.
Well, feels like you got some of it off anyhow.
Just let me give you a little brush. All right, there you go. Oh, thanks. Sit right down, Mr. Bronson. Well, what'll it be? Shaving a haircut?
Haircut'll do it.
Well, you might as well have a shave, too, as long as you're here. I got the kettle on, the towels will be real hot. Why, you won't even feel the razor.
No, I don't think
so. No matter how good a man is at shaving himself, it's not the same as having a barber do it.
Oh,
now, you
no,
take
no.
having a horse shod. You don't do that yourself unless it's an emergency.
Sure.
You go to an expert.
That's
well, sir,
right,
it seems to me a man's face ought to be as important as his horse.
Yes, but
it seems
I,
to me that
right.
when a fellow wants to get a...
All right, Brady, you can give me a shave, too.
Yes, sir, Mr. Fonsi, yes, sir. I'll just trim some of this hair off while the water's warming up.
You gonna be around town for a spell, Britt?
Just overnight, Alf. I'm due back to Square Moon tomorrow.
Well, I'd sure like to stay and chew the fat, but I'm due over to Gabe Starbuck's office.
Oh, say, how is he?
Hmm?
Gabe. Gee, I haven't seen hide nor tail of him. Must be over 4 years.
Oh, that's right. You and him used to be real good friends, didn't you?
Oh, we sure did. It was Gabe Starbuck gave me my first pony.
Well, as a matter of fact, he's aging, Brett. He's aging fast.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He's not down sick, is
he? No. No, Gabe wouldn't let himself get down no matter how he felt.
Uh-huh. What's he up to nowadays?
Same as ever.
Well, you mean he's still sheriff?
Yeah, he's still sheriff. At least he is today.
Oh?
Truth is, we had a meeting just last night. Decided the town's got to have a new sheriff. And that's what I'm going over to talk to Gabe about now.
Uh-huh.
You don't want it too short, do you, Mr. Ponsett? Fellow's in from Kansas City the other day. Says back there folks ain't cutting their hair so short anymore.
Well,
you
better trim it pretty close, Breezy. I may not be in a barbershop again for quite some time, you know.
Whatever you say. Appears to me people around here don't want to be in style.
Nobody wants to get rid of old Gabe, Britt. But the town's changed. Well, we got near 700 people living here now.
That many?
Yeah, there's a new bank, too. Maybe you saw.
Yes, I did, yes.
Not doing very good, though. Folks are afraid their money won't be safe. Oh, we haven't had any robberies, not for quite a spell. As long as Gabe's sheriff, well, there's not much he could do to stop an outlaw if one did happen to come our way. You know, old Gabe being so old and all.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Doggone it, Britt. We all realize that we owe him an awful lot. He cleaned up Yellowcrest. Made it possible for decent people to live here. Of course, that was 40 years ago. Things are a lot different now. We gotta have us a new sheriff, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Does Gabe know you're planning on replacing him?
No, we ain't told him yet, but can't put it off much longer.
I see, it's gonna hurt him pretty bad, isn't it?
Well, how would you feel if it was your place? You give your life to a town, your whole life, and they say, we're sorry, but we gotta put you out to pasture. You're too old.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe if he was to have a deputy...
Well, we talked about that. Town ain't rich enough to afford two salaries.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gabe's got a good, sensible head on his shoulders.
That's what I said, Mr. Ponsett. That's just what I said.
He probably won't like the idea of losing his job, not at first, but he'll see that you don't have much choice in the thing.
Now, so. You just lean back. That's better. And be sure and tell me if this towel's too hot.
Ooh.
A little warm?
I guess I can stand it.
I'm real glad you don't think we're being too hard on Gabe, Britt. Say, that gives me an idea. Well, seeing as how you understand the predicament we're in, about Gabe, I mean, maybe you wouldn't mind sort of preparing him?
No, wait,
just a minute, Alf.
Your old friend, you said so yourself. It'll be different having the news come from you.
No, it's none of my concern.
Here's another towel, Mr. Ponsett. Now, just lean back.
You're going to be seeing him anyway, Britt. Now, all you have to do is kind of lead the conversation around to him retiring, you know. Lay the foundation, and then later on, when everything's...
I won't do it, Al. I won't do it now. You're just wasting your breath.
How in thunder am I going to get this lather on, Mr. Ponsett, if you keep moving around like
I'm
that?
I'm only asking you to talk to Gabe because, I'm apt to say the wrong thing. You know me, Britt, always putting my foot in my mouth.
Now, Al, I tell you, you're not going to put...
Your own fault, Mr. Ponsett, and I told you to keep quiet.
Please, he's right. Just sort of take it easy, Britt, while I sort of explain what I had in mind. And then if you still aren't willing...
Well, between the shaving and the hot towels and Al harping at me, not that I agreed to tell Gabe that Tom's getting a new sheriff. I didn't agree to that, mind you, but... All I said was that I'd sort of feel him out and see how the land was lying. Anyway, about 20 minutes later, I was coming along the boardwalk heading for Gabe's office. Well, it sure sounded like shooting to me. When I looked around, nobody seemed to be paying any attention. What's that? The fellows arguing politics over the post office steps, they didn't even stop to take a breath. And the ladies in Johnson's Mercantile, they went right on measuring yardage like they hadn't even heard it. I was pretty sure where it was coming from now. I was right behind the sheriff's office. I opened the front door. No sign of Gabe. No sign of anybody, for that matter. And then I saw him. Right through the back window. And I saw why folks hadn't been very upset about the gunfire. Gabe was having himself a little target practice out there, aiming at a tin can sitting on a pile of lumber. It had just been 4 years since I'd seen him last, but... he looked good 10 years older. Smaller, too. He kind of shrunk and bent over with thin, yellow-gray hair and a long, bony arms that didn't seem to have much meat on them. Yeah. He sure wasn't having much luck hitting that tin can, either. Hello, Gabe.
Who?
No, it's Britt Ponsett.
Well, I'll be doggone. Well, it's sure good to see you. Yeah, for a second there, I didn't recognize you. His son got my eyes. I blinded me, son.
Sure. How are you, Gabe?
Well, never better. Never felt better in my life.
Glad to hear it.
Well, I was just doing a little shooting.
Yeah, I saw you.
Well, not that I need any practice, you understand, Britt. But I was worried about one of my guns. I think he throws a little to the left.
I say,
Yeah, that's why I missed my last shot, I guess you saw me miss it.
Well, a man can't hit anything if his gun's not working.
Yeah. Well, let's go inside where we can sit down and have us a talk.
Fine.
Well, you're looking good, Britt. Real good.
A little older, maybe. Well, I guess that happens to all of us, doesn't it?
I don't know. Man's only as old as he feels.
Yeah.
Just take that chair, Britt, over there.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I'll sit by the window here. Where I can keep an eye out on the street.
I was kind of surprised to hear that you're still sheriff, Gabe.
Don't see why I should have surprised you.
Well, you must be getting along, Gabe.
Well, I'm 64, Britt. 64 last spring.
Gabe.
Well, might be 65. The family never kept no record. But I ain't no older than that.
No.
Don't look no older.
No, no.
Do I?
Oh, no. No, no.
Huh.
You still living alone?
Well, of course I'm still living alone. You think I need a keeper or something?
Oh, no. I was just wondering if you ever got a hold of that ranch you used to talk about. That's all. You remember?
Ranch?
Yeah, don't you remember that? When I was a kid, you always said someday you're going to have a ranch. After you'd retired from being sheriff, of course.
Oh, I still aim to do it. When the time comes, of course, there ain't no sense in thinking about it now.
Oh?
No. Yellowcrest is growing, but growing fast. That's when a town needs law and order the most. When it's busting its britches. And seeing as how I'm the only experienced lawman in these parts, well, it's my duty to stay on the job. I owe it to the folks here. Why, if I was even to think about retiring, well, they just wouldn't know what to do. They'd be plumb helpless. Well, I ain't got no choice, Britt. You know how it is.
Sure, Gabe. I know.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. The winter brings extra hazards to the motorist and the pedestrian. Longer hours of darkness, poor visibility caused by snow, rain, and fog, and slippery streets call for extra caution. The National Safety Council urges that for safety, every motorist should always adjust speed to road and weather conditions. Keep the windshield clear. Never slam on your brakes if the road is wet or slippery. Pump them slowly to slow down or stop. Use tire chains on snow and ice. And keep a safe distance between your car and the one ahead. Guard against that one accident that might take your life or ruin it. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
We had a long talk, Gabe and me, sitting there in the office watching the wagons creak along outside the window. I guess we've about covered everything. Folks we'd known, old times. The only thing we didn't discuss was Gabe's retiring from sheriff. Anyhow, after I left him, I had supper and took a little stroll. Oh, it must have been about 9 o'clock when I got settled down for the night in my room in the Parker Hotel. The bed was real comfortable, a lot softer than those bunks out of Square Moon Ranch. Maybe that's why I had so much trouble dropping off to sleep. Yeah? Yeah, who is it?
Alf Crandall. You asleep, Britt?
Oh, no. Come on in, Al. Oh, come on in. I'll just get this lamp turned up. Here. There we are.
I didn't mean to wake you. Ned Parker told me you only turned in a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I'll pull up a chair. Yeah,
thanks. You know, I was looking for you this evening after supper.
Well, I went for a walk.
Oh?
You were right, Alf. Yellowcrest sure has changed. That's a fine new church going up there by the creek.
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to find out a bit was whether you talked to
Gabe
about...
Lots of new buildings over south, too. Mighty fancy houses there. Some of them look like they're going to be two stories high over there. Yeah?
How'd he take it?
Why, how did he take what? Oh, you mean Gabe?
Well, who else would I mean? Well?
Well, I didn't tell him, Alf.
Huh?
I told you I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
I don't blame you, Britt. I shouldn't have asked you in the first place. It was my job.
I did kind of hint around once or twice, but I could see what it did to him. Just the idea of not being sheriff anymore. It's all he's got, Alf. He doesn't have a family and kids to worry about. Gabe's the sheriff of Yellowcrest, and if he ever stops being the sheriff, he won't be anything.
I know, Britt. I know, but what can we...
What's that?
The alarm bell. Must be a fire, I reckon. There's Mark Fawcett running down the street there. He'll know.
Doggone this window. Stuck tighter.
Mark! Mark, up here, Mark! What are they ringing the bell for?
Somebody robbed the bank!
The bank?
We're meeting over at the sheriff's office.
Well, I guess it was bound to happen sooner or later, Britt.
Yeah. Hand me my pants, will you? The bell was still ringing when Alf and I rode up to Gabe's office. Everybody in town must have heard of it by now. There were 10 or 12 men standing around the streets, others coming up from all directions. Gabe was standing right by his horse, right in the middle of things, taking charge. Well, there wasn't much doubt about it. He was still Sheriff of Yellowcrest.
Britt, you boys know Britt Ponson, don't you?
What happened, Gabe?
Well, it was just an accident. I seen him. An accident, pure and simple. They was riding out of the alley from behind the bank, giving the horses a spur. Couldn't get a look at their faces, but the way they was riding, that made me suspicious.
Uh-huh.
So I thought maybe I ought to see if everything was all right at the bank. Went around to check. Back door was broke open, wide open. People scattered around inside. Jim Waterby's over there now trying to find out how much they took.
I didn't try to follow them, the outlaws.
Well, they was gone before I knew they was outlaws. Before I knew for certain, that is. But I seen which way they headed. East.
Don't make sense, Jay. They'd have to cross the Salt Flats if they went east.
Sure they were. Sure.
That's the way they went. Right toward the flats.
Well, you must have been a-seeing things. Man would be a fool to strike out that way.
200 miles without a water hole.
Oh, I bet they turned off, went up in them hills.
Well, I'm the one who seen them, ain't I?
$2,500, Gabe. That's what they stole.
Oh, that's so, Jim.
Sack of gold and a sack of currency. Yeah. $2,500, as close as I can figure it.
Well, boys, let's see if we can pick up the trail. Easy, Rusty, easy.
They'll determine to chase him out onto them flats.
Yeah, we want to catch him, don't we?
If we do, we got to use our heads, Gabe. Men smart enough to rob that bank ain't going to take a chance on dying out there in that salt. They'd go for the hills.
Mark is right, Gabe.
You tell me I can't believe my own eyes.
Well, it was pretty dark. Maybe you got confused. Maybe it looked like they was heading east.
Now, we're only wasting time arguing with him. Let's go.
I'm the sheriff of Yellow Crest. I'm running this posse, ain't I?
Gabe, we're riding toward the ridge.
All right. Come on, Rusty. Come on.
Gabe. Hey, Gabe.
You can't stop him, Britt. When he gets his mind set, nobody can stop him.
Guess this just proves we was right about Gabe. He ain't up to the job of being sheriff no more.
Yeah, I guess you're right, sure.
Okay, boys, I'll lead the way.
Hey, come on, this Britt.
No, you've got enough man without me.
Search yourself.
I watched them winding along toward the rise of the purple hills west of town. After a couple of minutes, the night swallowed them up, and the hoofbeats trickled off into silence.
All right, Scar, come on.
Turned Scar east. It wasn't like Gabe to be stubborn about something as important as a bank robbery. Oh, I'll grant you, it didn't seem very sensible for a couple of bandits to take off across the salt flats. And Gabe's eyesight wasn't what it had been once, of course. But I just couldn't believe he'd be dead wrong. Scar threw up his head when the smell of salt hit his nose. He sure didn't like the idea of walking out into it. Easy, boy. Easy now. Easy now. We're not going very far. Come on. Come on now. Nothing but white as far as you could see. Stretched out taut like a cavalry blanket. White salt picking up the moonlight and bouncing along ahead of us. The funny thing, though, there was only one set of hoof prints out there on the flats. Well, about 10 minutes later, I spotted Gabe. Whoa, boy. Whoa. Whoa, boy. He wasn't riding very fast, so I slowed up. I figured it was just as well Gabe didn't see me. I didn't want him to think that I'd tagged along because I was worried about him, you know. And then the darndest thing happened. He swung his horse around and started backtracking. Here, boy. Come here. I eased Scar over behind a couple of gray boulders so we'd be out of sight. And Gabe came right toward us. At first, I thought he knew where we were. Then he turned his horse again and walked him out in the salt. For a couple of minutes, I couldn't figure out what he was up to. It seemed to me like he was just wandering around, no purpose at all. And then the next thing that happened was even stranger yet. Gabe jerked his gun out of his holster and he began firing. And he wasn't aiming at anything. He, as far as I could see, he was just shooting up into the sky. Yeah, he left off two or three more shots and wheeled around and galloped past me on his way back to town. And I saw him reach in his saddlebags and bring out a couple of cloth sacks and hook them over his saddle horn. They were the kind of sacks banks used for carrying money. Well, there just wasn't any doubt about it now. The story of that bank robbery was something Gabe had made up out of whole cloth. Oh, somebody had broken into the bank, all right. Well, it wasn't an outlaw, though. It was Gabe. Well, I waited, oh, maybe 15 minutes. And then I heard the alarm bell start off again. Posse was pulled up in front of Gabe's office. Bell must have brought him out of the hills. Gabe was handing the cloth sacks to Jim Waterby. I pulled up just in time to hear the tail end of what he was saying.
I ain't sure I hit him, you understand. This gun of mine's been thrown a bit to the left lately. But when I started shooting, they dropped these here bags and went galloping off. By the time I stopped to pick up the money, I reckon that's what's in them. Well, them outlaws was just plumb out of sight. Yes, sir. I figured there wasn't much need of chasing them no further. Like as not, they'll never make it cross the salt anyway.
Now you did right, Gabe.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's all here. Every cent.
Hey, Rich, you hear what happened? Gabe caught up with the bandits, shot it out with them, and brung back what they stole.
Did he?
Yeah.
That don't seem possible. Them having a head start and all.
Well, you know Rusty when I give him his head.
Well, maybe the bandits was lost. Maybe they didn't know about them flats.
Yeah, I reckon they didn't. I reckon that's it.
If they knew where the bank was, they'd know about that salt.
Yeah, that's right. What are you getting at, Mark?
I don't know. There's something funny about this. There's two of them, you said, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Two of them against you?
Well, what's so funny about that? Many's the time I shot it out with more than two men.
That's right out there, boys. Have a look around.
Well, whatever you say, Mark.
Sure.
Hold on a minute. I think maybe I can save you a trip. The fact is, I was following Gabe.
What?
Yeah, I followed him right out onto the flats.
What?
Oh, I know you didn't see me, Gabe. I was behind you, but I could see you just plain as day.
Now, Britt, you got to let me...
You mean you've seen the gunfight, too?
Listen to me, Britt.
Was he telling the truth, Britt?
Yeah, that's right, was he?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I never saw a fight like that before in my whole life.
Great.
What about the bandits, Britt? You get a chance to recognize them?
No, I'm afraid I didn't.
You didn't stick around, eh? Once Gabe started shooting?
Well, as a matter of fact, when Gabe was through shooting, well, it was like they hadn't even been there.
No.
I'll be darned.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it was, all right. Just like they hadn't been there at all. I don't know how Gabe had found out that the town was talking about having a new sheriff. I guess he sort of sensed it, the way folks been acting. Of course, after this holdup, well, they figured out maybe they could afford giving him a deputy. Jim Waterby, that's the banker. He put up part of the money, and then they didn't have much trouble raising the rest. I had a little talk with Gabe just before I left town. We didn't mention that night out on the flats, neither one of us. But he did give me his word that the next time there was any trouble, well, he'd let his deputy do a good share of the taking care of it. But the way things worked out, though, there haven't been any more robberies in Yellow Crest. Not one single solitary robbery. They say it's because of Sheriff Gabe. Outlaws just don't want to tangle with him. They all must have heard about what happened that time a couple of them tried to hold up the Yellow Crest Bank.
I wonder if you really know how much good you're doing every time you buy Christmas seals. Well, let me tell you something. something I think will amaze you. It's simply this. Over 6 million lives have been saved in the fight against tuberculosis since the first Christmas Seal was sold. In other words, what you actually buy when you buy Christmas Seals is priceless protection for yourself, your family, and your community. So, please answer your Christmas Seal letter today. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Herb Bigren, John Stevenson, Lamont Johnson, Dal McKinnon, and Old Gabe was played by Bill Johnstone. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam. And the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now, from all of us who each week bring you The Six Shooter, a special salute to NBC-affiliated station WGBF, Evansville, Indiana, on the occasion of their 30th anniversary. Happy anniversary, WGBF, and best wishes to all of your listeners. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Tonight, hear Lily Palmer and Rex Harrison in the NBC Star Playhouse on the NBC Radio Network.